beginning in verse 26. If I was to give this message a name, it would be, "Greetings to you who are so highly favored." In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored.'" Greetings, you who are highly favored. Greetings, Mary. Greetings to you. You are highly favored. Yeah, you're going to be a pregnant teenager and a disgrace to your family and your village. But greetings to you, Mary, for you are highly favored. Yeah, they'll laugh at you, Mary. They're not going to believe what's taking place right now, Mary. But greetings to you because you're highly favored. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us everything. It tells us everything we need to know. But can you imagine? Can you use your imagination to just envision what Mary's conversation with her father must have been like when he found out she was pregnant? "What was the boy's name, Mary?" "Well, Dad, it really wasn't like that." "What was his name, Mary?" "Dad, you don't understand. It wasn't like..." "What was his name, Mary?" "Well, his name was Gabriel, but it's not like what you think. Where's he from? Where is this Gabriel? I want to have a word with him." "But Dad, it's not like what you think." Greetings to you, Mary. You're highly favored. You're going to give birth in a stable, in a cave, with a bunch of filthy, stinking animals and use some straw for a pillow. But greetings to you, Mary, for you're highly favored. The birth of your son is going to cause the slaughter of many innocent babies. But greetings to you, Mary, for you're highly favored. You and your husband will run like fugitives for your life because they're going to be trying to kill you. But greetings, Mary. You're highly favored. When your son grows up, they'll despise him and reject him, and you'll have a front row seat when they torture him and crucify him. But greetings, Mary. You are highly favored. When they take his body down off the cross, there won't be a place to give him a proper burial, Mary, but some rich guy will give him a borrowed grave. Greetings, Mary. You're highly favored. From the beginning of time until now, God's people have been highly favored. Noah was highly favored by God. You can read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, Noah was a righteous man and he walked with God. Noah was highly favored. Can you imagine the family dinner that took place with Noah and Mrs. Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Noah says, I heard from the Lord today. Oh, really? What did he say, Dad? Well, he said I'm highly favored, but we need to build an ark. What's that, Dad? Well, you see, it's kind of like a boat. It's 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high, and it's made of gopher wood. So Shem, Ham, Japheth, you just got a gopher wood ministry, because you're going to need to gopher wood and gopher wood and gopher more wood, because we got a boat to build. A righteous man walked with God, highly favored. How ridiculous that must have sounded. There's going to be a what, Noah? A flood? You mean water is going to come down from the sky? What have you been smoking? But he was a righteous man. Walked with God. Highly favored. Not one convert outside of his family. He was 500 years old when his sons were born, talking about chutzpah. But outside of his family, not one convert. But he was highly favored. He obeyed the Lord. He was given a vision. He walked it out. He was faithful to the vision that God had put in his heart. And the Bible says, and one day God shut the door. And all those who laughed and all those who mocked and all those who scoffed laughed and mocked and scoffed no more. But what a difficult an apparently ludicrous ministry Noah had. But he was highly favored. Abraham, highly favored by God, the father of our faith. Do you know the Bible says that Abraham's name originally was Abram? And in the Hebrew culture, the closest the Hebrew people would ever come to trying to even pronounce God's name was to say, that's how revered God was to his people. And Abram became Abraham. Something happened when came into Abram. And Abram became Abraham. And Abraham had a vision from God. And it wasn't a small vision. And it wasn't an easy vision. But God cut a covenant with him. And he called him to a ministry. Can you imagine that elders' meeting when Abraham called the leadership together and said, well, God's been putting something on my heart, and I got these stones here in my hand. I've sharpened them as best as I can. And guys, this is just what he's telling me we need to do. So he calls it circumcision. Could you just, those of you that feel a witness in your heart, could you just form the altar call? Just don't everybody run forward at once. This is Bible. Hey. This is Bible. highly favored of God. Abraham, the father of many nations. Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars of the sky. And his wife laughed at him. Ha 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 ha! Him? Give me a child? Ha! I sleep with the man. Then there was that whole Hagar and Ishmael thing, and that's what's happening in Iraq right now. Hello. Highly favored of God. Abraham. Joseph. Highly favored of God. Given a coat of many colors. Favored over his sons. His father's sons. Favored. He was given a coat of many colors. He had dreams and visions from God. He had a rich relationship with God. But his brothers hated him. His brothers wanted to kill him. If it wasn't for Reuben, the guy that made that sandwich, they would have done him in right then, but Reuben said, well, he is our brother, and maybe we could stick him in a well and make a dollar. Joseph, highly favored of God, lied about, falsely imprisoned, disowned. His brothers convinced his father that he had been killed by a wild animal. Joseph, highly favored of God. Moses, highly favored of God. Moses, a basket case from the very beginning. Moses. They said his mother had some pretty good financial resources, but she lost her profit at the bank at the Nile. Moses. Highly favored of God. Moses, who grew up in Pharaoh's court, didn't even know who his daddy was. He didn't know who he was. He was trained in the enemy camp for the service of the king. How many of us can identify with that? I'd rather hang with a gang member that comes to know Jesus than somebody born and raised in the church. That's a whole nother sermon. I won't go there, but I'm just telling you the gospel truth. But Moses didn't even know who he was. His friends might have called him killer. You'll get that tomorrow at lunchtime too, maybe. Yeah. He took out an Egyptian. No. Killer. Slugger. Mo. But he was highly favored by God. But have you thought about the ministry that he had? Did you imagine what he went through? Leading 1.5 million whining, complaining Jewish people out of Israel. Oy vey. Whoa, my manna again. Where's the kvelta fish? How about a nice knish? Manna. Is that all we know is manna? Oh, an occasional quail. Huh? What can we do with a quail? Water from a rock? What? No salsa? whining, complaining, complaining, and whining. Finally got the best of them. God, they're driving me crazy again. I didn't want to go into the ministry. Why did I have to run into that burning bush and have that whole thing with Aaron and Pharaoh? And oh my God. The Red Sea thing was pretty cool, but come on, God, these people. They complain, they complain, they complain. They're thirsty again, God. Speak to the rock, Moses. Moses, I thought we talked about that anger management course that you went through in Midian for those 40 years. I thought we talked about that. Moses, I'll let you see. But you're not going in, Moses. When we were in Israel, we stood on Mount Nebo, where Moses stood and looked in the promised land. And we got on a bus and we rode into Jericho. And I couldn't help but weep. All that he went through. God let him see it. But he never fully entered in. But he was highly favored by God. David, highly favored by God. Left out by his father, underestimated by his brothers, a shepherd boy. He became target practice for King Saul. Really, when you read in 1 Samuel 17 and 17 about David and Goliath, we always talk about how David took out Goliath. We don't often look at what he was doing there. His dad didn't say, "Hey, David, mighty man of faith, go and take out Goliath." His dad said, "Son, I want you to go bring these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers and bring these 10 pieces of cheese to their commanders." It's probably where the first Taco Bell was started. Because he probably got there and he gave the brothers the bread and they said, "Hey, we want the cheese." And he said, "Nacho cheese. Nacho cheese, nacho cheese, nacho cheese." That's probably, this is just speculation. Don't hold me to this, okay? This is not thus saith the Lord, all right? Could be. Highly favored of God, a shepherd boy, a delivery boy. If you read in 1 Samuel 17 and 17, he not only tells him to go and bring the bread and bring the cheese, he says, "And hurry up about it. Hurry up about it. Fast food. Yeah. Yeah. Fast food cheeseburger. Come on, hurry up. Deliver it. Hurry." Highly favored of God. Had a little problem with adultery. Little thing going on with Uriah and how he got killed and his firstborn child died and because of all the blood on his hands, he never was able to build that church. But hey, he was highly favored of God. Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. That's what Jesus told Peter. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Because when Jesus said, "Who do they say I am?" Well, some say that you're Elijah. Who do you say I am? And Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This has been revealed to you from heaven. You're highly favored, Simon. You're the second man to walk on water, Simon. You're going to be a fisher of men, Simon. And you're going to deny me three times. And you're going to run like a scared rabbit. And you're going to try to chop a man's head off in the garden by the name of Malchus. And when it comes my time to look for somebody to carry my cross to Calvary, you won't be there, Simon." John MacArthur in the MacArthur Study Bible says that before they crucified Simon Peter, and tradition says that when they went to crucify him, he asked to please be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to die like his Savior. But in the John MacArthur Study Bible, it is taught that before they crucified Simon Peter, they crucified his wife and made him stand and watch as they crucified his wife. And Peter, highly favored of God, said to his wife as she was being crucified, "Remember the Lord." Highly favored of God. Back to the text. Everybody thought I completely forgot all about that, huh? The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, Mary, for the Lord is with you." Greetings, because you are highly favored, because the Lord is with you. In verse 35 of the same chapter, it says, "And the power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you." You are highly favored because the Lord is with you. And the power of God will be on your life. And no matter what you have to go through, you will go through it to the glory of God, because I will be with you and I'll never leave you or forsake you. Greetings, Connie Britton. You are highly favored of God. Greetings, Daisy de France. You are highly favored of God. Greetings. Are you, Esther Long? Because you are highly favored of God. Do you know what's so fascinating when you study the life of Mary? She's the first creature on the planet that had Christ on the inside. And he was only within her for 9 months. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul says, "To those who God has chosen to reveal this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Greetings to you, Bob Keller, for you are highly favored of God, because Christ lives in you, not for 9 months. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, Paul says, "He who is united to the Lord is one spirit with him." Greetings to you, Charlie Callahan. For the Lord is with you. The Lord is in you. And He will bring you through whatever, wherever, however, no matter what the vision, no matter what the call, no matter what the challenge, He will bring us through. I want to close tonight. Preacher was getting ready to close. And he said, and in conclusion, the little 3-year-old boy sitting next to his daddy said, Daddy, what does in conclusion mean? The father said, absolutely nothing, son. It means absolutely nothing. Funny how God changes your life. I turned to the centerfold of New Man magazine. That's another sin. To Iraq and back. After being blinded by a suicide bomber in Iraq, Scott Smiley learned to rely on God as he fought to get his life back and stay in the military. Scott Smiley felt no fear as he approached the vehicle, the U.S. Army First Lieutenant and the 35 men in his Stryker platoon were conducting on a sweep of the area in Mosul, Iraq, in April of 2005. That morning, authorities had learned Iraqi shop owners had been told by the locals to clear the area. During the sweep, Smiley noticed a car parked in an odd place and approached the driver. I yelled at him to get out of his car, Smiley recalled. He started pulling forward. I then shot around in front of his vehicle. He lifted up his hands and looked at me. Then he started pulling forward again. I shot another round. Then he stopped and blew up. The attacker died while his explosive device sprayed shrapnel over the 30-yard distance to Smiley, hitting him in the eyes. The exploding car would be the last thing the lieutenant would ever see. Blinded and temporarily paralyzed by the suicide bomber, Scott Smiley decided to keep fighting. He fought to regain his health. He fought to adjust to his new life, and he fought to stay in the military. Today, the 27-year-old is a captain, one of a small group of seriously injured soldiers who have convinced the military to let them stay in uniform and continue serving. Throughout his ordeal, Smiley credits God with giving him the courage and strength to fight. The battles Smiley fought during his 6 months in Iraq were nothing compared with those he faced while lying in Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Placed in a medically induced coma after April 6, he wouldn't regain consciousness for several weeks. When he woke up, Smiley learned he had been temporarily paralyzed on his right side. He was able to move his right arm, but he couldn't move his right toe for 2 more weeks. It would take weeks longer for him to regain complete movement, and then only with a walker and the aid of 2 men could he walk. But that wasn't the bad news. 2 weeks after his injury, surgeons toiled more than 8 hours trying to repair Smiley's eyes. The next day, Tiffany, his wife of 17 months, shared the doctor's verdict with her husband that he had been permanently blinded. As anger flooded in, he admits he didn't react like a loving husband. It was hard, said Smiley, who now has prosthetic eyes. I just wanted everyone to leave. I was more confused as to what to feel and what to think. as a longtime believer who decided to follow Christ in preschool, Smiley had to face demons he never dreamed about. His military career had started off with promise. He graduated from West Point and Ranger training and became a respected leader in the field. Now his plans were crushed. The anger that Smiley felt that day would later dissolve into tears when he received the Purple Heart, the medal given to warriors wounded in action. That was the hardest day of all, his wife Tiffany said. It was kind of the first time that Scotty cried and let his emotions out. To see his real hurt coming through was hard, but in a way, it was good because he needed to cry. Smiley's rehabilitation was difficult. He had to learn to walk again, live without his sight, and train his mind to deal with not being in combat anymore. Smiley had to learn to rely on God's strength and not his own. I overcame a lot of my fears by praying and asking the Lord to help me, he said. It's just a reality that I cannot walk through life with the things I had seen over there, constantly being afraid of people and places and things. We, who bear the name that is above every name, are highly favored. And we have a bright, bright future. But we all are called to the battlefield of the vision that God has put within us. Billy Graham said, "This walk with Christ is not a walk in the park, but a march on the battlefield." Greetings, O Christian, for you are highly favored of God. Would you bow your heads? For whatever reason, tonight's been kind of a night of mini altar calls of sorts. And I don't know if there's anyone here who's been wounded in the line of duty or injured by some religiosity or some calamity that was of no fault of your own. I don't know what relationships are represented here in this room, but I do know that God is speaking to us tonight, and He's reminding each of us that we are highly favored. For Christ in us is the hope of glory. And if you're here tonight, I'm not even going to ask you to come forward. We're not going to pry into your business. Again, this is just a point of contact between you and the Lord, and I believe that God watches over His word to perform it. If you're here in this room tonight, as we're getting ready to close in a prayer, if there's an area in your life where you feel that you've been injured, whether it's in the church, whether it's on the job, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with a parent, whether it's with a child, if you are a walking, wounded warrior, I want to ask you to stand to your feet, and we're going to close in a prayer of faith, believing for God to do what only God can do. Just going to ask one more time. Not trying to manipulate anybody. Not being religious. Just following my marching orders. If there's something in your heart, if there's something in your mind, if there's something in your childhood, if there's something in your memory, if there's something in some relationship in your life that needs a healing touch from the Master's hand, I believe The Lord Himself is rolling out a red carpet at your feet that is stained with the blood of a king, and your deliverance could be 3 feet away. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Father, I praise You. I praise You that Your grace is sufficient and Your power is made perfect through weakness. Lord, I thank You for Your faithfulness. I thank You that Your mercy triumphs over judgment. I thank You that by Your stripes we are healed. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, relationally, that You are the God that is more than enough. And Lord, I am standing in faith in agreement with these, Your sons and daughters, that whatever needs are represented here, whatever injuries, Lord, are represented here, that You, Holy Spirit, would go where the surgeon's knife cannot go. That You would go, Lord, to the secret place of the Most High. That You would bring that touch. That You would bring that reconciliation. That You would bring that restoration. That You would cleanse that guilt. That You would burn the truth of Psalm 103:12 into the heart of each of us, that as far as the east is from the west, so far have You removed our transgressions from us. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. And we come into agreement with Your Word and with Your Spirit that You are the God that heals and restores and cleanses and renews and revives and reuses again and again and again. So I pray, Lord, that even as we go from this place and have family celebrations and celebrate the miracle of motherhood, I pray, oh God, that Your Spirit would remind us of the greatest miracle of all, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And all God's children said, amen and amen.